following is Christina Woodke's talk, The Architecture of Advocacy, from the 2014 Information Architecture Summit. The 2014 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by UIE's All You Can Learn. Stay tuned after the podcast for more information about All You Can Learn.
This talk is not about information architecture. This talk is about a kind of architecture, in a way. This talk was originally called Designers Don't Ask. And then somebody was like, well, that's like women don't ask, and blah, 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 and is this feminism, and do you want men in the room, and blah, blah. And now it's this thing. But let me tell you, the message is going to be more or less the same. So you may have heard this morning from Irene that it is a fantastic time to be a user experience designer. It is awesome sauce to be a user experience designer. Everybody's talking about you. Everybody wants a piece of your action. It is so good. Design is special, wonderful. You know? It's a funny thing. I'm not sure that you guys are really taking advantage of this moment. I know what you're thinking. Where are the flying cars? I've been waiting for them as well, but you know, they should be coming to take us to our penthouse suite where we are CXO, blah, blah, blah. But I think it might be a little bit your fault, or maybe our fault. I think design has had historically a servant mentality. We kind of wait for people to see how awesome we are, and then the magic raise fairy will come by and give us some money. We kind of wait for somebody to give us a project and sit quietly going, I've got this great idea, but somebody will bring it up, or they'll say something and then I can bring it up. And we struggle with this. We struggle a lot. And then we come to sessions like this one, which I really, really hope are not actually like this one, and we get the usual advice. We've got to show our power, mesmerize them. We can make those executives dance our tune. It's judo. They ask for this, but we give them that, and they thank us, right? That's exciting. Judo's big. Actually, if you hadn't noticed, Irene is a judo ninja. She's amazing at it. So this works to a certain degree. But you guys, I think you have the skills to solve this. I think what's going on is you've never thought about using your magical design powers on your universe. So Steven Anderson helped me draw this, and I'm going to take you through this model. And I know, it's like, oh, we've got weebles and thought balloons, but it will make sense by the end if you trust me. First of all, I would argue you need to get good with you. You have to start really knowing yourself, understanding yourself, and liking yourself. So I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to turn to someone near you, and if you're not near someone, would you please get near a human? Like, they mostly don't smell. It'll be fine. Get close to at least one other human, or turn around if you have to. And I want one of you to share a moment from your workplace that you are really, really, really proud of. And this is going to be the hard part, especially for you women in the audience. I want you to use the word I. I am proud because I did this. Okay? So turn to each other. We're just going to take 5 minutes to share something that you've done recently that you're proud of with each other. Talk about why it was hard. Share what you did to overcome those obstacles. Take 30 seconds to wrap it up and finish your stories. Okay, folks, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. Finish your sentences. This is amazing. I have a funny feeling that I would do just as much good if I let you guys just talk to each other about things you're proud of for the next 30 minutes. I kind of want to ask you, was it a little bit hard to blow your own horn? Some of you, yeah. Some of you, it was hard. Maybe some of you were relieved to finally talk to somebody about all your awesome. Let it out, right? Get that awesome out. Okay, so I have a job for you listeners. Think about the stories you were told. I want you to turn to the person whose story you heard and tell them what their superpowers are. Because that person who's proud did something amazing, something courageous. And they have superpowers. So please tell them what their superpowers are. Was it the power of listening? The power of convincing? The power of perseverance? So please share. Just take a minute. Let's just take a few more seconds to wrap up, start wrapping up. This is also something that I think we could probably do for another 20 minutes without any problem and would do more good for us than anything else I'm going to talk about. Are we ready? Come back to the light. Come back. No, go away from the light. Now come back for a second. Did anybody hear something that they were surprised by? Yes? Okay. Where's my mic person? I want to make them start running around like a crazy person. You're going to be mic girl? Oh my God. We have a celebrity mic girl. Okay. Let's hear in what fabulous way. How are you surprised?
Bravery.
Bravery.
Yeah, or even right now. Thank God.
Well, you know what they say. Bravery is not doing something outlandish. It's doing something outlandish you're terrified of and doing anyway. So, yes, bravery is probably always right. Did anybody else hear something we're surprised by? It's part of the test.
Apparently, I have the power of humility.
Oh, that's beautiful. Most people just fake it. I like that you're bringing it. Sorry. Maybe one more. Can we find one more real quick?
I was given the power of cat herding.
A what? What was that, cat herding?
Cat herding. That one's so good.
You do realize this is like Superman on the team, the person who can cat herd. That is the best superpower you could wish for. That's fantastic. So it felt good, right, to have people start telling you about what your strengths are. The problem is we get to know ourselves too well sometimes, and the little voice inside of our head is saying, yeah, who do you think you are? You're not that awesome. Your team probably did it. And sometimes we have to remember that we also have a certain amount of awesome. You have to ask yourself, what do I have, right? What have I got that I'm bringing to this team? You have to know, as well as those strengths, you have to also know what you need from the conversation you're about to go into. And needs are interesting. Money is the obvious lens. Do you know how much you need to live? Has anyone here sat down and done a proper budget and figured out how much their life costs? You, great. That's also a superpower. It's really, really important. Seriously, math, definitely a superpower, not one I got. You need to know what else you need. Do you need portfolio pieces? Do you have clients who will not let you put anything up ever? Do you need new challenges because you're so bored you're about to quit, like you're about to crack? You got to know what you desperately need, because anytime you're going to go into a negotiation situation, you have to know that rock bottom. You also need to know what you want. What are you dreaming of? What are you hoping for? Do you need validation? Do you want better communication from your team? So you know the thing you can't live without, and you also know the thing that you're hoping for, and then you know what you're bringing to the table, what your value is. And those things, you start to go, okay, I'm good. Like, if they lowball me, I know what a lowball is. You know, it's not about, is somebody else making $250,000? It's, if they give me a $120,000 offer, I won't eat. However, I'd also like 3 weeks of vacation, because I've found that 2 weeks doesn't actually let me rest and recover. You know, and by the way, I can do cat herding, and I'm brave, and those are important things. So you can talk from a place where you're good with yourself. You know what you are. You also have to understand this other person you're going to talk to. And it's really funny, because over and over again, and it's even happened this time at the IA Summit, I hear people talking about them. Those people. Those execs. That PM. You know, there's a story I heard about a place in Africa where they were killing each other, which very sadly happens more often than it should in Africa. And when one tribe was killing the other tribe, they started calling the other tribe cockroaches. They did not use the name of the tribe. They did not do anything except dehumanize them. And I'm going to argue that every time we talk about PMs and every time we talk about execs, you know what word we're really using? Yeah, exactly. So we have a job. Before we can negotiate, we have to turn the cockroaches back into people. We have to understand them. So you must own the fate. It's not enough to say they're bad to me. I've got to make it good for me. So we're going to do another little talky bit. Now, the person who was being interviewed gets to be the interviewee, and vice versa. And you're going to ask them, at work, what's a good day? And then at work, what is a bad day? I've been really working on cleaning up my language, so we'll hope. Maybe I'll make it through the whole talk without a cuss word. I don't guarantee anything. But please turn to the person that you were working with before and find out from them what's a good day and what's a bad day. Okay? Go. Talk amongst yourselves. If you haven't gotten to the bad day, move to the bad day. What made it suck? Let's take one more minute to wrap up, or 30 seconds. Okay, folks, let's bring it back. I know, feels good to rant. Okay, so it felt pretty good to be heard, wasn't it? Felt nice. Felt good to talk about the good things. You kind of were able to relive good moments. Felt kind of good to talk about bad things, too. Get it off your chest. Have somebody pay close attention to you. You know, I have this little trick I do at interviews, back when I used to look for jobs. And I would talk to people, and I played this game. Can I get them to spend the entire 30 minutes talking? And I will tell you, anytime I got away with that, they would say, you've got to hire this woman. She is amazing. She is so smart. She is so cool. Because people are waiting to be heard. People are dying to be heard. And to be honest, I like to think that I ask pretty good questions to keep them talking. So I'd like you listeners to think about what makes that person win? You know, when they won, what made it possible? What made it great? Was it their own magical strength? Was it getting supported? Was it clear objectives? Like, think about it for a second. What made it possible for them to do their job? And you might also want to think a little bit about what got in the way for them doing the job. And if you could just take a minute and tell them what you've noticed about that. Okay? Just a minute to talk about that. What did you notice? And I know this is a hard one, but you guys are actually designers, so I'm willing to throw it at you. What in their environment made it possible for them to win? Go. Follow-up questions are allowed. Start thinking about wrapping it up. Are we ready? Okay, folks, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. You know, it's funny, this whole negotiation thing, I think you guys have this in the bag. I think if you could just ask some questions using your magical design research skills, you could find out, what does success look like for the PM, who might have a name like Jim, or the exec, who might have a name like Irene Au, who struggles between going home and taking care of her baby and having to show up to meet the new execs. You might be able to find out what they're afraid of. What causes them pain? I think you could actually turn the cockroaches into humans, but not only humans, you could turn them into humans that you could help. The thing is, there's things that turn off the ears, and if you want to negotiate, if you want to get the things you want, you have to open those ears back up again. And things that turn off ears are fear. When we're scared, we do not listen well. When we're in pain, we don't listen at all. And you know what? When we're prejudiced, we don't listen to anything except the voice inside of our head that's telling us about the other people. What's the prejudice they have against you? It's not just color and race. Maybe they think, oh, those designers, they just want to make art. They just want to be cool. They don't know this is about money. Who are these people? You know? You've got to find out what they think about you and start cracking away at that prejudice. You cannot have a conversation until you've alleviated their fears, waited for the pain to pass, hopefully, and shown them that you also are human, that you're not a stereotype. And I know this is hard work, but it's well worth doing. And unfortunately, talking about how to do that would be another 45-minute talk, so we'll keep moving. You have to fix it. So the last thing I'm going to talk about is environment. Well, we'll see if it's the last thing. Probably not. We're going to talk about environment a little bit. So this is one of those things, if I was the guy from Art of War, I'd be like, you need to know your territory. I wish you could pick your territory, but you need to know it at least. So you're going to make a map. And it's worth thinking about it. If you have a sketchbook near you, you might even start sketching some things out. You're going to map out, what's the business model? Do you know how many times I have managed a designer who genuinely has no idea how his company makes money? And I'm not talking about startups, because nobody knows, right? I'm actually talking about a big company that has a publicly published, you know, revenue line, you know. So you really do need to know how the company makes its money. What does it take? What do users have to do? That's part of your territory. You need to know group dynamics. I originally said politics, but it's not that simple. You know, what groups get along with what groups? What do people think about? Who decides who gets the money? You know, you might think the accountants decide, but if you dig a little deeper, you'll find out that it's actually the general manager and the budgets come from here. You might find out that sales and marketing are in some kind of weird death match, because they're fighting over headcount, and in order to get your stuff publicized, you're going to have to create a detente. You need to know what the heck's going on in your company, and it's all different. Like, I wish I could tell you there was an answer, but you're going to have to do the ethnographic research, which, luckily, most of you can do. Finally, do you know what the rhythm of your company is? When do they start evaluating you for your raise? When do they start thinking about bonuses? When do they do all these things? Like, if you don't know that, it's like trying to harvest pumpkins in winter. It's not going to work out for you. So you need to know these things. What is your environment that you're trying to get things done within? So we have you, whom you love, hopefully. We have the other person, whom you also love. You know what the territory is. You're ready to have a conversation. I think there's about two kinds of conversations. One is transactional. You go to your boss, and you're going to find out, how can I get a raise? And usually that's, what can I do to get a raise? It's, if I give you a nice haddock, will you give me 20 shekels? You know, whatever, I don't know. Ancient Babylonian currency is not my knowledge base. Actually, I'm not sure it's Babylonian either. But anyway, it's like this deal. You're like selling and buying. I'll do this, you do that. What's funny is this is actually an unusual transaction. Many people go in because they want to make a redesign, and they think they have to do the same thing with the PM. They think they're going to do a transaction with the PM, and they're going to say, by the way, PM means product manager for me. Excuse my jargon. And they're going to say, if I don't know, make this idiotic banner you want, can we kick off a redesign? But the reality is, except for things like raises, most things are actually collaborative. So when you're out having that wonderful lunch with your PM, you start finding that the numbers aren't going up, right? In an area that they care about. Maybe it's sign-up. Sign-up numbers aren't going up. And you want, no, sign-up just blows chunks. It's idiotic. Hasn't he read Luke Grabowski's books? And so at that moment, you start going, oh, let's talk. Hey, I bet we could fix this. I bet we could start tweaking this. Can we do some tests together? You plot together. And even though you would also like to redesign settings and you would also like to redesign the front page, you kind of say, okay, I'll do this first thing first with this guy who wants this thing. We're going to put our wants together and we're going to build a common goal. We're not going to barter. We're going to work together. We're going to make something special for both of us. And this changes the conversation like that. All of a sudden, you aren't talking anybody into anything, except maybe you. You might be talking yourself into it. And that's a magical moment. When you go into this conversation, you also have to watch your body language. This is like a tip. I went to find a personal coach a couple years back, and I drew out how each of them sat. And one coach sat like this the whole time. And the other one was like, open. So you can imagine who I chose to work with. I don't think that's a hard pop quiz. Your body is always telling a story. You don't just talk with words, you talk with your entire person. This is from Amy Cuddy's research on power poses. If you don't know her, she's amazing. It turns out that not only are you talking with your body, but your body's talking to yourself. If you stand in the Wonder Woman pose, and since if we had more time, I'd make you do it, you actually start releasing testosterone, which is giving you power, and releasing cortisone, which is your stress hormone. So the thing is, it's also a message. If I go in to talk to my boss for a raise, I'm so glad this chair is here, and I go, well, boss, I've been working pretty hard. I mean, that's a message, right? Not maybe the one you want to give. You want to show power, but you don't want to look like your own in the place, you know? So you want to really think about reading them. Are they like this? Maybe you say, maybe I'll talk to you next week. Or they're like this, they're ready to go either way. Okay, you're gonna watch them as you talk, and you're gonna write. You're gonna tell them how they should be behaving. Lean forward, open your body, use sort of a us posture. Start pulling them in a little bit with your body. There's tons of good books. One of my favorites is You Say More Than You Think, but it's well worth realizing that just like drawing is a language and words is a language, your body is always telling a story as well. The words you use are actually important as well. Duh. And I wish I could tell you the magic words. I wish I had a dollar for every time I was in one of these talks and people said, there's this word, ROI. And the execs will eat it up. You know, I have never yet worked in any place where ROI was used at all. It just, that's not how they talk. Anywhere I've been, but you know, who knows? Maybe at John Deere, that's a big thing. I haven't worked there. Speak the language of the place. Listen to how they talk about value. Are they talking about profits? Are they talking about user acquisition? And when they negotiate with each other, and if you listen carefully, they're always negotiating with each other, how do they talk? Like, for example, I found that when I was interviewing people and I asked, what salary do you want? I started hearing people say, it's more about the package. I was like, wow, that's pretty clever. Instead of saying, I want money, they said they were looking for health benefits and money and stock and some combination. And it was sort of a way of very sleekly saying, I want to know what your life is going to make me like, which was really sweet. Oh, good, I have 10 minutes again after the last 10 minutes. That adds up to 20. Sorry, I'm watching my cues. Get to the next level is often a much better phrase for you if you want to raise. If you go in to ask for a raise, like, can I have a raise? No. But if you go to your boss and you can say, how do I get to the next level? That's a nice code for promotion slash raise. You can talk about what that looks like. These are just languages from my place. Just like Irene, I've learned my own place's language. You're going to have to learn your place's language. There's places where you can walk up and you can say, I want a raise. I worked at a place where I walked up to my boss and I said, I want your job. How can I get you promoted? This was a very male organization, and that was a very effective strategy. That worked out well for me. But it was the language of the place. I think if I had said, Irene, I want your job, how do I get you promoted? She'd be like, I got too much work now, and what are you talking about? And go back and talk to Jeff. I used to work for Irene, who's taught me a lot, obviously. So learn the language of your place. But the most important thing I want you guys to remember is speak need to need. This book that came into my life, Nonviolent Communication, taught me that we are all humans. And if I know what your need is, Amy, if I know what your need is, Aaron, if I know what your need is, Christian, and you know what my need is, we can talk about how we're going to get our needs solved together. Not PM, not client, but can we figure this out together? So know yourself, know the other, I'd even argue de-other the other, know the territory, and make an us. Make an us. Because everything is awesome and everything is cool when you're part of a team. By the way, plan B. Always have plan B. Just saying. If you're unwilling to walk away, you're not in a good negotiation place. So a little bit of additional homework to Irene's homework. I would highly recommend craft a little sentence about your awesome and try it out at the receptions. You know, people ask you what you do. Everybody will ask you what you do. Tell them how killer you are. Tell them about this amazing thing you did. Find out what their awesome is. Think about how you know why were they successful. And maybe, if you really like them, plot something awesome together. Not that long ago, David Bloxham and I were on the back porch of Carbon IQ having some Pini Grigio. We said, hey, what if we made a magazine about design, and we made Boxes and Arrows? You never know where you're going to find your next amazing collaborator. They might be that really friggin' annoying PM, or they might be in this room. But go out and find out. Thank you.
Who has questions? Who has a question?
So you said that one of the ways to go into the conversation is to speak to how do I get to the next level, and I understand your point about speaking the language of your place. In my place, if I asked that question, I'd get the next level of responsibility, but not the salary to go with it. Is there another way that you would suggest phrasing that with, again, not asking for the money? Because if you flat out in my organization ask for the money, that conversation gets shut down faster than the can I have more responsibility will get you more responsibility.
I'm going to give you two pieces of advice. One's bad and one's good. The only reason I'm going to give the bad one is because it might be good advice somewhere else and it is all contextual. Sometimes, if you're lucky, you can go to people and say, I'm facing a really hard decision. I cannot actually survive on my current salary. But I also know our culture is such that talking about money is really tough. But also, I need to be eating. So can you help me figure out how we can have a conversation that involves me doing awesome work for you and me eating? Perhaps not that facile. So that's my bad advice. It might be good somewhere. My good advice is find somebody who's awesome, somebody who's very successful, and buy them lunch and get to know them. And then a week later, take them out for coffee and say, you know, I was really thinking about the amazing things you've done. Could you tell me a little bit about, I feel like I've done a lot of amazing things. Can you tell me how you've managed to have the compensation conversation? Because I can't seem to have it. Now, you might notice I said, wait a week. After you talk to them, let that amazing experience of being listened to sink in a little bit. And that's advice I probably should have given earlier. Take your PM out to lunch, give them a week to settle, and then take them out for coffee to give them your crazy idea about how to work together. Like, we didn't ever give ourselves enough time to let things settle. And you know what? That'll pretty much always work. In the fabulous book, Made to Stick, I think it was, or maybe Switch, they talk about finding bright spots, Chip Heath. In your company, there's somebody who knows how to get a raise. Your job, find them and steal their knowledge. That works. Sure. Okay, and there was
who
somebody
else?
Jumping up and down over here.
Jumping up and down. Please jump up and down.
Jumping up.
Everything
that's what we've
is
been
awesome.
Doing.
Jump up and down. It's Newsy. Hi, Newsy. You're awesome.
Everything's awesome. So I saw those power poses, which I think are really amazing. I've been testing them out. I was wondering if you kind of have any advice on how to be your best advocate or leader even if you're an introvert, like how to be the best leader in your own right.
I have a secret.
Okay.
I'm an introvert. After a conference, I have to lay down for 3 days. You know, it's interesting because with the body language thing, that's all I did. Like, seriously, for like 2 months at one of my jobs, all I did is started doing power poses in the conference room. You know, we'd all meet around the table, and I wouldn't say very much, but I'd do this. And it was really weird. People started training me, go, well, Christina, do you have a question about this? Does this seem to be working for you, Christina? It was weird. I was like, there might be something to this crazy juju. And I've adopted the ones that I feel comfortable doing. I don't steeple, that's weird, but you know. If you're an introvert and you know it's going to take a lot out of you, go slow. Don't do them all the time at the same moment. Like, try them out, figure out what's getting comfortable, get yourself more and more comfortable over time. And then most introverts I know aren't exhausted when they're just talking to one person who they actually know and like. So the know and like thing will help you too. So just go slow, don't rush. Try it out, see what fits you.
Sandra, I'm coming for you.
Ooh, awesome. Bomb has a question too.
Sandra really is awesome. Did you know that Sandra was our curation manager?
She managed
the spreadsheets and massive action that got 80 speakers on the program. This is Sandra. She really is awesome.
Yay! Sandra also asks the hardest questions on earth. That is her superpower, so bring it.
Yeah, and also Abby is super awesome. She like made the whole thing happen.
This is such a disgusting love-in.
But anyways, so my question is about the thing that you said was going to take like 45 minutes to talk about. How do you break down somebody's prejudices about you? Like, I mean, how many times have I talked to a guy who thinks I'm stupid because I'm female? Or how many times, like somebody just comes up and has these prejudices against you and they might not realize it, but their ears aren't on. So when their ears aren't on, how do you get them to listen?
Well, unfortunately, there's soft prejudices and there's hard prejudices. We all carry around a lot of unspoken ones that we aren't really paying attention to. And maybe if we ever paid attention to it, we might reconsider them. And then there's the really ingrained ones. There are going to be people in your life who think women should not be in the workplace at all. Or perhaps they should be in marketing where they belong with the other women with heels. There's going to be people like that. And to be honest, I don't think you have the time to work on that, nor the interest, nor the energy. Sometimes we cut our losses. I'm surprised more people don't ask me about pain, because to be honest, pain is one of those you just kind of wait out. Because most of the time, it's hard to relieve pain. Luckily, if you've made a friendship, maybe you can offer a shoulder. But if you haven't made that relationship yet, pain, you have to wait out. Prejudice, the question is it going to be adjustable or not? So you start talking to them in a way that shows that you're a rounded person, you know, that you're thoughtful, that you're listening to them. Actually, sometimes women have an easier time with men, if you excuse the generalization, because men expect them to be listening to them anyway. I'm really sorry to be saying these things, but I've been doing a lot of reading lately, and the ability to like just be listening starts letting them in, and then you can start being, and again, I'm very sorry, one of the good ones, and you can get in. With the designerly thing, you show you know about business. You show you understand what's going on. Just the act that you know what their pain is often helps break down the prejudices. On the other hand, sometimes it's like against a brick wall, and you know, throwing yourself against a brick wall over and over again, not recommending that. I hate to say it, but there are going to be a lot of times when you get the fuck out of Dodge. It's just the way it is. But I like to test those prejudices. I like to see if they'll start to crumble a little bit. I poke at them, and if you follow me on Twitter, you know I poke a lot, often and hard. Because I love these people. Some people with horrible prejudice are incredibly awesome people. And I just keep hoping if I stick with it and point out some places they're thinking might be less than complete, over time, they may help me make the world into a bunch of awesome people too. So that's the best I got, that's all I got. I'm still iterating on life. It's a hard project.
And with that, okay, Amy, one more question.
You and your hard questions, woman.
Amy's also a volunteer. If you receive social media communications, Amy was part of that team. Amy, what's your question?
Thank you. So I have a big problem accepting individual praise, which is odd because I'm a painful extrovert. painfully extroverted.
Maybe you should find the introvert. You guys should practice on each other.
Well, Sandra and I talk a lot, so it's a good thing. But I have no problem group praise. We did this. We accomplished this. But when somebody points to me and says, she did that, it's hard. Part of that might be because of the 20-plus years of improvisational comedy I've done. You can see the entire troupe that made all the funnies. It wasn't just me. So how do I overcome that at work so that people know that I value my own work?
I also had that problem. In fact, Abby's introduction would have made me vomit a few years ago. It would be way too much. Yes. So what I did, this is what I did. When I worked at Carbon IQ, I worked with a partner named Gabe Zental. And that man had the best thank you I have ever heard in my life. And I just modeled off him. I just faked what he was doing until I wasn't faking anymore. I would say, thank you. Like, stop, listen to the compliment, let it get all the way in, warm you up a little, thank you. You don't have to say anything else. You don't have to explain it. You never have to excuse your awesome. Your awesome is your awesome. You just thank you. Practice your thank you. You're improv comedy. You can do this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Come on, work it. Work
hey, Amy,
it.
You're awesome.
You're welcome.
You're awesome. Yes. All right, and with that, can we get one more huge round of applause, not just for Christina, but for all of you? You guys are awesome.
You're awesome.
The 2014 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by UIE's All You Can Learn. UIE's All You Can Learn will give you the skills and techniques you need for a competitive design advantage with 24/7 access to UX experts and topics. For more information, visit aycl.uie.com. That's aycl.uie.com. As always, thank you for listening.